powerful. Let's raise our hands and look to God now. Is wonderful. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He is the mighty King, the Master of everything. His name is wonderful. Jesus, my Lord. He's the great shepherd, the rock of all ages. All
be God. Is he? Before him, love and adore him. His name is wonderful, just my Lord. Amen. Shall we bow our heads and close our eyes with a prayer? Our gracious Heavenly Father, we are so thankful, Lord, tonight to stand here in your divine presence. Lord, to come and to gather together and worship you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ. He says the name of the Lord is a mighty tower in which the righteous run into and are safe. And Father, when all the world is being drawn to that tower that man has built today, Lord, to a satanic worship, we are so thankful that the name of the Lord has been revealed unto us. The Lord, we hold this revelation in our hearts. And even as the song says, Lord, when we come in the name of Jesus, tell me who can stand before. I pray tonight that your Holy Spirit would so inspire our hearts as we, Lord, would sit in your presence, worshiping you with faith, believing, Lord, and you would speak your word to our hearts. Lord, may it quicken us, Lord, and inspire great faith in our hearts, sufficient for this hour. Come and bless us in a special way. Open up your word, Lord. Make it, Lord, so real and so personalized to each and every one of us. Lord, make it so relevant and applicable to us, Lord, even in this hour that we are living in, that we, Lord, can look through the eyes of your vindicated word and see the hour in which we are living in. Bless each and every one that is gathered here tonight, Father. Lord, I pray that you would meet every need in the hearts of your people, all that they are believing and looking unto you, expecting to receive tonight. May you grant it unto them full, pressed down, and running over tonight. Father, we commit this service into your hands, asking your divine leadership and direction in all that we undertake to say and do. May it bring glory to your name and assistance to your people, for we ask it in Jesus' precious name. Amen. Well, we're certainly happy to be here again tonight, and I want to greet you in the precious name of our Lord Jesus Christ, and we'd like to invite your attention again to the book of Genesis, chapter 10. And we're going to read from verse 8 tonight. Genesis 10. We're going to begin reading from verse 8. And Cush begot Nimrod. He began to be a mighty one in the earth. He was a mighty hunter before the Lord. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And what that means there is that when Moses is writing this book of Genesis, even at that time that Moses was alive, the name of Nimrod was so spread into the earth, it was like a great proverb. They say, even. Wherefore it is said, even as Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. And the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, the beginning of his kingdom. And Erech, and Akkad, and Calneh, in the land of Shinar. Out of that land went forth Asher, and builded Nineveh, and the city Rehoboth, and Calah, and Resen between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. Now, Brother Branham says here, and he took it out of his slave to Babylon, that this word in verse 11, where it says, out of that land went forth Asher and built Nineveh, that is a mistake that they made here. He said the translators made a mistake in translating Asher as a noun, for it is a verb, and in the Chaldee it means to make strong. So it really read like this. If we go back to verse 10, it will really read like this. And the beginning of his kingdom, because he's speaking of Nimrod, it gave all the sons of Ham and Cush and the sons of Cush. But when it came to Nimrod, it began to give a little history upon him. And it says, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel and Erech and Akkad and Calneh in the land of Shinar. Out of that land, out of that land he went forth when he had been made strong and builded Nineveh and the city Rehoboth and Calah and Resen, between Nineveh and Calah, the same is a great city. And that is proven to be so because in history, the king of Nineveh was Ninas, and Ninas was Nimrod. And if you want that, you'll find it on page 186 in the Seven Church Ages book. So I'd like to get another scripture with that. We'd like to take Jeremiah chapter 5. Because we want to speak about this mighty hunter tonight. And you know every hunter, he set traps for what he's hunting. Because Nimrod is a mighty hunter. And the word mighty, it means power to enforce one's will, powerful in body or mind. Power to enforce one's will and powerful in body or mind. Because three times it's mentioned here how he was a mighty one in the earth, a mighty hunter before the Lord, and then said Nimrod, the mighty hunter before the Lord. So he's a real, had a great influence in his time. Jeremiah chapter 5, verse 26 and 27. For among my people are found wicked men. They lie in wait as he that setteth snares. They set a trap. They catch men. As a cage is full of birds, so are their houses full of deceit. Therefore, they are become great and grown rich. I'd like to read one more scripture before you have a seat in Revelation chapter 6, verses 1 and 2. And I saw when the Lamb opened one of the seals, and I heard, as it were, a noise of thunder, one of the four living creatures saying, come and see. And I saw, and behold, a white horse, and he that sat on him had a bow, and a crown was given to him, and he went forth conquering and to conquer. Let us pray one more time. Our gracious Heavenly Father, I pray, dear God, that you would so speak in a direct way and a personal way to each and every one of us tonight. And Lord, may you bless our hearts individually, Lord. And Lord God, I pray that the things that we would endeavor to bring to your people, you would grant grace that might be expressed clearly and be made distinctly, and the picture becomes so real, Lord, to your children. Lord God, we just are so thankful to have this time of fellowship together with them. Lord, these of like precious faith, the Lord could provoke them unto love and good works. Much more we see that they're approaching. I pray that your word would go forth in power and it would accomplish the purpose and which you sent forth. For we ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. May I have a seat. I want to take for a title tonight, The Traps of a Mighty Hunter. The traps of a mighty hunter. Because we see in Jeremiah, God was saying that, you know, he's speaking about some people who set traps, but to catch men. They set snares, like when you're going to catch birds and you're going to, you know, have a cage full of birds. Now, when you see a person has a cage full of birds, rather, You know, they had to maybe set a trap. Those birds, I guarantee, maybe didn't just fly in there because they just want to go and be caged up. But, you know, David in the Bible, in the Psalms, speaks of the snare of the fowler and how he escaped for his life many a times like a bird who has escaped the snare of the fowler. Now, I know that in this country, many of you, for a pastime, you do hunting and fishing and all these things. And I, you know that these things will be in a very real way to you. And many of you here, no doubt, would have had the first-hand experience and be able to even explain some of these things in a greater way. But with my little understanding of the scripture here, I want to bring this little message tonight of the traps of this mighty hunter, because last night we were speaking about, behold, the people are one and they have all one language. And I was taking for a subject the evolution of the communication system and the opening up of the fourth dimension for this mine age. Because it is so amazing in the message of the hour how the prophet speaks so much about television. And, you know, the things that he has spoken about television, even before the industry was developed as it is now, you don't find any other ministers in the denominational world speak of it in the manner in which he spoke of it. He says, look how television is producing all these things that we read of in the book of Revelation, and it brings the people into this hideous condition. Because, you know, he showed us we live here in three dimensions. Light, matter, and time. And God gave us five senses to contact these three dimensions. He says, and then science has discovered the fourth dimension. He said, now that was here since creation. Because they only discovered it. See, they invented the television set. But television, when he says television was here since creation, since Adam was here, he means the dimension, the fourth dimension. See? And that is, you know, where Moses and all those prophets would sit and look and see all these images and hear all these voices without the need of the television set. Because when you think that Moses, about 25 or 2600 years or more after God created in the beginning, 2000 years and the first civilization was wiped off the earth. Then God called Abraham out of Babylon. Then Abraham had Isaac and Isaac had Jacob, and Jacob had the 12 sons and they went on to Egypt. And then Moses was born after 400 years of bondage. Then by the time he was 80 years and had come fully into his ministry, because the first 4 years God had to take it out of him, and then he began to write, and he wrote the first five books of the Bible. And Moses wrote about Genesis, about creation. He speaks there and he writes the conversation that took place between the serpent and Eve. He described the great scientific age. He described the judgment after man had fallen upon the serpent and how Cain was marked and went out of the presence of God. He described about civilization, how it started, and he began to name the people who work in brass and who, you know, work with the flocks of the cattle and the herds of the cattle and all these things. And then he began to speak of Jacob and even told dreams that Jacob dreamt. And give the description of those dreams. And these things happened so long before his time. Where was he getting it from? Where was he getting all this information from? To describe places. To give, records of conversation and events. It was recorded somewhere. We see in the film, The Deep Called Unto the Deep. The prophet stood there and told the woman, he says, I see you coming this way. I see getting younger and younger and younger. About 25 years ago, you had an accident, you fell and you hit your head. Here she was standing 25 years after. But he saw the accident that took place. And he saw where she got hurt. He was seeing it. It was somewhere. That fourth dimension. He said, because science proves by the invention that everything is being recorded. And that is where God is making his great video library of tapes of every individual who ever lived on the planet. And on the day of judgment, he'll bring the tape out and play it. He says science is discovering it. Only now they're discovering it. But it was here all the time. Because God, when he's going to create man, man is the last thing that God created. That's why he climaxes creation. But he already had made that dimension because he knew he was going to have something to record every human being that come on this earth. Because when the hour comes and he's going to display his great judgment upon the world, he must have the evidence to judge them by. That's why he says even when his body is destroyed and is rotten in the grave, and that person goes into the prison house, he said, God is going to bring them back. Just like even the believers who die in Christ and go to the sixth dimension. In the resurrection, God is going to bring back that image just the way they were between 8 to 20 years. He said, because he has a picture of it in his great library. He made it the first time, he can make it again. And if that is so, then when those people come back in that body, because the Bible says we have to give account for the deeds done in this body. Now when a man stands there and look at himself and see the film of his life, and then he's seen the very body that he did those things in, because the very images, actions, everything is captured. Just like when you look at any video service, a message has been videotaped, and you look at it, you see the minister standing there preaching, you hear his words, you see every expression, every movement, everything being said. It shows that the people singing the special, show the part of the congregation, is all there, it's recorded. They could die and go on. And you could still play that tape like we still play Deep Calling of the Deep. Yeah. And many of us who never lived to see the prophet in the flesh, only by a photograph or something, we could stand up, see him there walking, we could stand up, see him get weak. We can understand how to carry him out. We don't have to imagine it when we hear the tape. We look at the film and we see it. Because that very image is there. It's been recorded, captured. And if man does it, he says what science is breaking into, they're only proving that God has it already. And then the Bible showed it to us, but in the world it's called visions. So the prophet, you know, but there's a vision, really a gift of knowledge. That the prophet goes up there and catches those things. And he sees things that, and he comes and says, such and such is going to take place. Because he's linked up with omniscience. He's linked up with perfect knowledge. He's linked up with a source that where past, present, and future is all there. And he's speaking with that omniscience. So when we look and we see then that the fourth dimension, he says, is now being discovered. And it's being discovered for a particular purpose. And the things that he spoke about it, he says, now look, hell is being created on the earth. Hollywood is robbing the people, the women of those virtues. It's bringing them into this hideous condition to fulfill the book of Revelation. He says, look, radio and television is producing these things that are going to send the people into insanity. They're bringing out all these prehistoric things. Because that fifth dimension was the regions of the lost, and that sixth dimension was the regions of the blessed. And he lived in these three dimensions, and he said, by the grace of God, God permit me to go there, and God permit me to go here. And when he went up here, he had seen people who live here in this life. And when he went
to the regions of the lost and came back here, he began to see some of the people in the very condition reflecting what he saw in that place. And when he went to either place, the first thing that he saw in both places was women. He said, those sisters came running, beautiful. And in that other place, those horrible women were going, in a hideous condition. Now, it was all in the Bible, but in the reformer ages, when the truth was lost, and they're trying to bring it back, and everything was being so scrupled up, what happened? They couldn't put those things together. But it was all laid in the Bible, telling us what happens in each place. Because when he came, he went back to the scriptures. He said, look, this is Jesus went there and preached to the lost. See, when he went there, he said, look, Paul says, if this earthly tabernacle be dissolved, there's another one waiting. It was already in the Bible. Even he himself couldn't put it together before he had the experience. Now, in telling us these things, it was part of his message. Because it was part of those seals. Under that fifth seal, proved those theophanies are the air. Because they were speaking, they were conscious. They could speak to the Lord, they could communicate. They were given white robes. He said, John saw his people, and I saw my people. So that is where it was. And if you notice, on your fifth seal, is where he took the experience behind the curtain of time, and he puts it on the fifth seal, because that is where it belonged. The fifth seal tells us about those souls who had lived on the earth, died, and had gone in that place, but was still conscious, moving around, and all these things. Because this is the message that is getting us ready to go to heaven. Because this is the age when you don't have to die. A man is in every age, they die to go to heaven. And in every age, they die to go to hell. But in this age, there's some people who wouldn't die and go to heaven. And in this age, there's some people who don't have to die to go to hell, because hell has come here. Hell has come here. That's why Peter says, spirits in prison. But the prophet says, souls that are in prison now. Because through that fourth dimension, that fifth dimension, is emptying itself out here. It's expanding its dimension. That dimension has been expanded to take over this whole world. But the thing is, the people don't even realize it. Because they think it's fashions, they think it's a nice craze, they think, it's science, give us a better world, the television has come out. And the prophet said, he said, that evil thing, he said, the Holy Spirit told me, don't have that evil thing in my house. See? Because it was something there that he began to show unto us what was happening. And last night, when we was taking the evolution of the communication system and the opening up of the fourth dimension, I want to bring you to show you how science is boasting and saying the world is becoming a smaller place daily because of the global telecommunication system, of the technology so far advanced that is being called the global village. They say, welcome to the global village, because you could stay here, as I said last night, and speak to somebody in China, and somebody just out the door cannot even hear you. 10, 15 feet away. And somebody in China is hearing it distinctly on the telephone. You can still look at the television and see into yesterday. Because in some places, it's still Friday. In some parts of the earth, it's Sunday. And you can look into Sunday. And you living in Saturday and can look back into Friday and look over into Sunday. And you can see, you may not even be able to see beyond this curtain here right now. Yet, if you had a television here, you could look straight into Russia. Yeah. Sit right and see what activity live that is taking place in Russia. And you can see right behind this wall here. Because we are subject to five senses. It was just given to contact this physical world. But that other dimension being discovered has opened up something to us. But the thing is, it is becoming so normal to the people that they fail to see what is really laying there. But the prophet, when he's looking at it, he will see now. Here it is. Satan was given man, you see, television, telephone. Now what is that Elijah could stay here and hear what was going on in the king's bedchamber in Syria. This is not nobody infiltrate the ranks. It's not double agent we have. This is a prophet in Israel. He hears what is going on. He sees it too. And television wasn't invented back there. They didn't discover the dimension there. But this man should be seen in that nation and hearing those things. Now watch. Now, in this world, Satan, through science, through the tree of knowledge of good and evil, is bringing his kingdom a little higher all the time, see? And he's giving them now like a super sight and a super sense of hearing by the aid of the telephone, by the aid of the television. It's like they could see into that place. Now, in the millennium, the prophet said, we wouldn't have these things. They are science civilization. Science produced these things here. Because when that theophany comes, he said, when I was in that theophany, he said, have eyes, but far beyond this kind of seeing. Yeah. It have ears, but far beyond this kind of hearing. Mm-hmm. But we bypass that. Yeah. Now, when that comes into this body, when it's changed, that theophany comes into this body, yeah, then what is going to happen? We'll be able to see all things and know all things. Yeah. He said, that's what we bypass. That's why we don't know all things yet. But because we had to bypass that theophany. But what has happened is a crave now in us, drawing us, craving, because that perfection is calling us there. What do you think healing and all these things is? Is that theophany, that word part of you? In that theophany, there is no sickness. It's in that body, there's no sickness, no sorrow, no yesterday, no tomorrow, no weariness, no old age. Okay? Now that is pulling, he said that is pulling you there. It's a deep calling you to that perfection. So when you are sick, that theophany comes and speaks to you in the form of revelation. It's the theophany, that the Holy Spirit bringing out a word to you. And you sick there, all sick in this body, slumped down. And the scripture, by his stripes you are healed. He said, pastor, gives you a charge of faith. What happens? That theophany is saying, rise up and be healed. By my stripes you are made healed. You are made whole. Calling you to a perfection. Calling you to a perfect health. Calling you to a place where there's no more sickness. See? Calling you. He says, and don't you feel the travail? Don't you feel the crave for the vitamins? He says, that perfection calling you. It pull, like a magnet pulling. There's another part of us. No, because you see, they have like a big station and they transmit and they have a receiving set, and that receiving set, it has something to pick up it, that makes it link up with the satellite. If you don't have it, it's not linked up. But it has the crystal to pick up what's been transmitted. So that makes the link. And that gene of God inside of us is what makes us really the representation of our predestination. It shows there's a word that link up with us here on this earth. But it's not far from us. He said, it's one breath away. It's right here all the time. Just in another dimension. It's here, it's all around us. He said, what you feel is that theophany coming close. You're giving you a charge like a battery. You see? Now, we had never known these things. But here a prophet comes. And went to that place, went to the other place, live here on this earth. And when he went to that place, his body was right there on the hospital bed. And he went to that place. Then his body was there in his bedroom. And he went to the other place. And both places he went, he realized he was right there. And then he took the scriptures and began to show it to us. But there is something. And from the time that they begin to develop that television industry, he saw how that dimension was coming here, because Satan's kingdom is becoming flesh. The Satan whose throne is in hell will not always stay there, because his throne is coming to the earth, because he's been building an Eden on this earth and is getting ready to be enthroned on this earth now as God. He is coming to flesh now. He is bringing his kingdom from spirit to flesh. And God is bringing his own from flesh to word. His elect back to the word. See, both kingdoms and those who reject the word, when that word comes forth, they reject the word, which is the blood of Jesus Christ, then they can no longer be covered by the very blood that they reject. He said, that rejection makes a way for the devil to become incarnate. The soul that sinneth or disbelieveth shall surely die. Mm-hmm. I believe it is the soul, not your body or your spirit. You believe it is the soul. See? And when that soul rejects that word, something is happening. Mm-hmm. Then it makes a way now for those spirits that is there to become incarnate. Then they begin to reflect that personality, begin to reflect that image in the attitude, in the speech, in the behavior. See, in the way, you know, in the way they dress, in the image they carry afterwards. They begin to reflect it. A lot of people think it's fashion. They think that it's fashionable. They think that is nice. They think that there's a new craze or something come out. Because they have not been anointed and the word has not been opened to them to see and understand that we are living in the hour when that kingdom is coming here. This is the generation when Lucifer will sit as a man in flesh. Because at the end of 6,000 years, Adam was in spirit. Then God put Adam in flesh after he built the Eden. And then Adam came into flesh and had dominion over the Eden. Land, sea, and air. See? He had dominion over it. All the waters, all the seas, over the earth, over the animals, he had dominion over it. Now Lucifer, for 6,000 years, built in his Eden. Then he too is coming to flesh at the end of his Eden to rule and have full dominion over his Eden by religion, politics, and demon power. Adam had Holy Ghost power. That is what gave him his dominion. But Satan is ruling by demon power. Religion, politics, that is his Eden he has built up. See, the lust of the flesh, the pride of life, the lust of the eyes. And now he's getting ready to be enthroned on the earth. But when we see that coming, here, while Satan's coming to flesh, God is coming to flesh too. It's Jesus in bride form. See? And it's those two kingdoms coming to the head. And one is going to have such faith in this hour to leave this earth. Yeah. Amen. Without seeing death. It's a tremendous thing. Now, and we've been taking it last night and showing that fourth dimension, it has become one of the most powerful tools today. Because it was always a great power in the earth, in any form of society, communication. And in Babylon, when they started to build the Tower of Babel in the city, you think of how much it was going to cost them to build a city the size that they intended to build that city to be the capital of a world empire. Because it says here in Nimrod, the beginning of his kingdom was Babel, then Erech, then Akkad, then Calneh in the land of Shinar. And out of that land, he went forth when he had been made strong. What kind of strength? Not physical strength. As he was conquering more territory, as his kingdom was expanding, as he was conquering more nations, he was becoming a stronger economic power, stronger in military power, stronger in political power. He was not being able to control all the resources of every one of those countries he was conquering. And any man that goes to war, you're not just trying to conquer any piece of territory. You want to conquer the strategic places that will give you superiority over the enemy. So in going to war, He began to conquer certain places where he could control the trade routes, where he could control the resources. Then he began to be a great mighty man. Now the Bible says he was a mighty hunter before the Lord. This Nimrod. Now, the characteristic of a hunter is not to go and build a city and all these things and build a tower. And the word hunter here is a religious connotation. That's what it says. And I search up the word, and it's used like in a metaphoric way. Because in the Bible, all through the scriptures, when the word hunting is used, it always relates to people, hunting people. God is using the approach. Because the word hunt means to pursue and capture. It means to search for and locate. It also means a diligent search or pursuit. To harass persistently. To persecute. And as I said, a hunter, if he's hunting his prey, then before he could set the trap, he must understand the nature of the animal. To have the right type of trap set for that kind of animal. Because once certain animals know they've been hunted, they become very difficult to catch. Because they're aware that the hunt is hunting them. They're aware their life is in danger. Because when God made the animals, each one of them, he gave a certain defense. And you take, for instance, the deer. Now, God make a deer, and he put a deer in the same forest with a tiger, with a puma, with a jaguar, with a lion, you know, rhinoceros, elephant. And it seems like the deer spirit is, you know, is not aggressive as these other spirits. But the deer has a sense of smell. And it could pick up the scent of any enemy at a distance and go to safety. Now, as long as that deer live in that sense, he could be in the midst of any jaguar, lion, and tiger. He is as secure as anything else, even though he don't have the aggressiveness to face them. As long as he stays in his sense, he's protected. Because God gives each one a certain ability. Some he make very agile. Some he make they could sleep in the holes and move. And then for the bigger animal to get them, they would have to try to maybe lure them out of the territory and then make them defenseless. Because from the time they come out of their own environment, they are weakened. Now, if the Bible is saying this, Nimrod is a mighty hunter. Mighty hunter before the Lord. And then it says the beginning of his kingdom. He's a mighty hunter, but the beginning of his kingdom was Akkad and Babel and Erech and all these places. And when he became strong, then he went forth and he began to build Nineveh and Rehoboth and Calah and Resen. And even the time of John in the Bible, he went and preached to Nineveh, that great city there. And it was Nimrod who had built Nineveh. Now, to trap something. Trap means a device for catching or holding animals. If you're speaking about animals, such as a net or a pitfall, or let's say a clamp-like apparatus that springs shut suddenly. I'm talking about the traps of the mighty hunter, because my subject is a Nimrod, the mighty hunter of this 20th century. There's a great hunt going on. And if we can look in this hour and see the hunt, you know, long ago, in those kingdoms, the hunting was a great royal sport. Sometimes they have the fox hunt, and they come out and suddenly they hunt, and they're all dressed up, and they go into, you know, all the kings in India and different places. They hunt the Bengal tiger. And, you know, they come out with the safari and everything else, and they get there, and, you know, maybe they spend some days looking around, and they can't get a sight of the animal or something. But from the time they begin to see the animal, and they begin to get, you know, on the trail, it begins to build an excitement. It begins to, you know, create an anxiety because the chase is on. And it's like a great drama, a lot of excitement. And sometimes in hunting, you know, the human being needs certain senses if they hunting certain type of animals. That's why you have hunting dogs. Because they need the sense of the dog. The dog can smell things that the human being cannot smell. So it's like taking an aid to your sense. Getting a super sense to hunt what you're looking for. And this hunting I'm talking about is not a physical hunting. And the traps I'm talking about is not physical traps. So let me just maybe throw some of this in front here so it will give you an idea of the kind of scene I'm talking about. And as we look at the natural hunting as it puts it here in the Bible, we will be able to appreciate in reality the hunt that is going on today. Because Nimrod is still here. We took it last, and there's a mystery Babylon. There's a mystery Euphrates River. There's a mystery Nimrod. It's all here still. See, it's coming back to a world state. It's coming back to a man of sin who's going to rule the entire world, just like Nimrod did. Because this year was a type. It was in seed form of what is coming. Yeah. On the message testimony, paid for, the prophet says here, he says, like I was trying to say last night, the world coming to a place, it's falling apart. Politically, socially, economically. You say economics? More money? Yes, but where is it coming from? He said, we borrowed on taxes that will be paid 40 years from today. She's broke. She's bankrupt. A nation. Not this nation, but all of them. And there's no way ever getting it back. And it's a trap set exactly to swing this nation into something. And all of you are wise in that. Well, who has got the wealth of the world? Who holds it? Someone says Rome. Sure it does. Rome holds it. And whenever we do, when we get broke, instead of these big merchants to back the whiskey and so forth, have to get the money, what we'll have to do, either change the currency or borrow the money. And when they do, it's the birthright sold right back exactly just as perfect. Just what the scripture said about it. He said, I'd like to get to a place sometime, the Lord willing, when a tent comes on the scene. And I believe that soon now. Soon I'm going worldwide. I've got worldwide meetings coming. And where I could sit down for about 6 weeks and take those things and go through them back and forth through the scripture. And it's astounding to see the hour that we are living in. It frightens me. It frightens me. Not because in my heart the joy bells are ringing. Because knowing the coming of the Lord is so close at hand. But what frightens me is to know that so many is unprepared for the hour that we are facing. That's the bad part. So he said, I would like to take 6 weeks and just go along with these things and let you see the hour. He said, it frightens me when I saw this whole nation was coming to. It was a trap was set for it. I was swinging the entire nation to that trap. Now, to the individual person who may be a little well off or kind of comfortable for the present moment, their mind may not be on those things. They may not even bother about it. But the thing is, when we realize that it's not that nation alone, the whole world. And we were taking that last night. Look how the whole world, which is Europe, called the whole world. And the beast rise up to the sea, and the sea was multitudes of peoples where she had dominion over. And then the Protestants, they run from persecution, Roman persecution, to America, and they colonize America, and they form the New World. And the Protestants and Catholics is coming back together. Which is the New World, and the Old World is being united back. And then we had a third world, what they call all the undeveloped countries. And America became broke by trying to spread their ideology and trying to fight communism. See, that many of those third world countries trying to, you know, buy friendship with the prophet says, you don't buy friendship. See, and in doing that, Then you find the third world was expedient. It was expedient for those who wanted to take control. So now you have the old world and the new world, and the third world is all coming together, and all what was left out was the communist world. And then the communist world now have to start a restructure to come into this world order. Now what is something is happening right now in the earth. Every day you could see how it's coming in. It's developing more and more. And that is why many young people, you know, I want you to see that if you out there, there's a trap set for you too. Because it traps to catch people. Oh, not just nations, everybody, great or small, rich and poor, bond and free. And he, that hunter, he watches the spirit of every animal. You know, any hunter knows that. Because, you know, hunting and fishing, many of you do fishing too. Fishing is a type of hunting. Because fishing, you're hunting fish, really. And it takes a certain skill and knowledge of the type of fish that you're hunting to know what to use for bait and certain type of waters, you know, and to understand the fish that you're fishing. Because Jesus even told Peter and them, I will make you fishers of men. You might be a great skilled fisherman because you have to learn, not just know to throw the hook, you have to learn how to move the tide and all these things. Going out there to catch a certain tide and, you know, even hunting, you go out there to hunt and you have to know the weather and all these things. Because if a hunter don't really know the weather, it could be in a lot of trouble. But Abraham was speaking once on the message, a guide, and how he got lost up in the mountains. And while he was up there, he went to hunt, you know, a couple of deer to get some winter meat. And he said, I noticed a panther. And you call it in this part of the country, in the West, the same animal. It's a puma, really, what it is. Same cat, about 9 foot long. Weighed about 150 or 200 pounds. He crossed the road. I slipped the gun real quick, not fast enough to get a shot at him. Well, I slipped on over up the hill chasing this cougar. Now, he's a hunter. So I'm using this to illustrate something. Chasing this cougar, watching the leaves where he moved. I could hear him. He had 4 feet. I know he wasn't a two-footed animal. He haven't seen him yet, but he's out here in the leaves. And I know that had to be a four-footed animal. See? So, he says, and I know he wasn't a two-footed animal. He has 4 feet. I know he wasn't a deer, because a deer stumps. And he would sleep real easy, the cat. You know, like that. And a bear rolls his feet when he walks. So he said, watch how he's disturbing the leaves. He's on the trail of something now. He hasn't seen it yet. But he begins to notice the behavioral patterns, certain characteristics. So it begins to identify and leave a trail for him, identifying what animal is making that trail. So he knows, he will have to know if my weapon is sufficient to catch what I'm going after. Because I don't know how true it is, but I believe it. I heard somebody brothers say when you're hunting, you know, them big grizzlies and those things, and they know you're hunting them, sometimes they lose you and then come along and start to hunt you instead. So the hunter has become the hunting. Okay, so he's a great hunter and a trap set for the United States. Let me give you another one, but another trap in a little while. But I want to give you the illustration so we could bring out the truth of this, how it is happening in this hour. He says, and so I know it must be a cougar. And he was behind a log and I didn't see him till just got a glimpse of him. He was gone. I watched the way he disturbed the leaves, you know, and up over the top of the mountain and down like this. And I wasn't watching the cloud coming all the time. You see, when you're hunting, you have to know your season too when you're hunting. You have to know your weather when you're hunting. Otherwise, you could get yourself in danger. So if Nimrod is a mighty hunter, because the Bible just talked about two main hunters in the hunting world, which is Nimrod, and they say Esau is a cunning and skillful hunter. And it means that Nimrod, if you were such a great hunter, and he had such a great reputation in that age, because in the olden today, they have high-power rifle, telescopic sight, infrared lens, in the night, you know, to shoot them certain type of bullets and different things. But, you know, out there, when a man has to hunt with a bow and arrow or a spear, he has to get in close range. then he has to really know the animal. He has to be a hunter, not a man with a gun can sit from a distance because he's full of fear and just shoot some explosive bullets and damage the whole thing. He needs the skin for clothing. He needs the meat. He needs every part of the animal he's hunting because he is hunting to live by it. His life depends upon it. His family goes out there and he knows his life is in danger too. In that time. So look at this here carefully. So he says, I thought I'd catch him after a while. I like to see the place. And I run up to a high place and look down like that, peep around, see if I could see him, listen real close, get down, slip down again. You could hear the bush just go crashing way ahead of him as he was going out. See? He was hitting the trees then, so I couldn't trail him. See? He got smart. He got up in the trees and was jumping from tree to tree. Then he knew that I couldn't trail him there. All right. I bring it to show you the beast because the animals represent nations. America is the ball eagle. He said a trap set for him to swing this nation. That mighty hunter I'm talking about have already caged that eagle. Trap him and put him in a cage. And he has a trap set for the grizzly bear now. He's bear hunting now. Because Russia is the next one. Nimrod wants. The Vatican must get them two superpowers under her control. She already has America because way back in 1960, she was in the throne of the White House. But what I'm saying is consider a Catholic nation. Oh, they have Protestant presidents since then, sure. Because Jezebel was controlling behind the scenes. She was the pagan. Ahab wasn't a pagan. He was only a figurehead. So, that beautiful man has raised up here already. Now watch. It's a great hunt. And he's hunting for the bear now. And that bear, as far as I could see it, is walking right straight into the trap of this mighty hunter. The trap is all there. And that he's gonna spring that trap very soon. Amen. And the prophet says the bride on page 361 of the seven church ages. He says, after a short and powerful demonstration of the Spirit, this little hunted and persecuted group will go to be with Jesus. Because you have already trapped the World Council of Churches too. And caging them up right now. See? And the Bible says the lamb will even speak with the voice of the dragon. That lamb represented the Protestants who is going to form the image to the beast. It's a lamb, not one without spot or blemish, just a lamb representing religion. See? And that's been trapped too. But the bride, we are the ones who have slipped that trap. Oh, you tried very hard to get a hold of this little bride, but we have slipped that trap. But what's something? Not only does he want to get America, he wants to get Russia, and here he wants to get the Jews too. And he's going to get the Jews also. Listen to this. But I'm speaking about the ecumenical move and all these things taking place in page 314 in the seven church ages. He said, furthermore, the elect will not only be kept, but as this moves become the image erected to the beast, the saints will be gone in the rapture. And this little delightful, winsome movement that started out in fellowship at Ephesus will become the monster of Satan that defiles and deceives the whole world, for the church system of the Roman Catholic and the Protestant is coming together, will control the wealth of the world system and force the whole earth into its religious trap. So there's a financial trap set for America, and you're going to swing the whole nation. Then there's a religious trap set for the whole world. He says, and the whole earth, he'll force the whole earth into this religious trap or will kill them by refusing them the privilege of buying and selling whereby they would make a living. This will be accomplished simply, for the harlot daughters are all but going back to her. In the meantime, Rome has acquired nearly all the supplies of gold. The Jews have the bonds and all the paper at the right time. Are we sitting and making right now? The harlot will destroy the present day money system.
Maybe tomorrow we get a chance to see how the time has come and he's laying the groundwork now for the destruction of the present-day money system. Oh, they've been telegraphing the messages daily. The dollar is dying, it's sick. You know, they're trying to, you know, boost it up. They're trying to batten this here and, you know, they get all the economists, all the financial advisors, all the great doctors of money, see, of the financial institution to come and examine what could be done. See, but the dollar had some bad crashes. And it all crippled up and dying, and just can't stand. And with all the restructuring going on right now, and how it's happening right in the old world, in Europe, they're coming to make one state by 1992, one currency, all these things. You watch and see. He said, the heart will destroy the present-day money system by calling in all the paper and demanding gold. With no gold, the system falls. And if you know the message, you know under that third seal is where he was acquiring the wealth of the world. Because back there, they didn't have no paper money. Back there was gold. See? And he was acquiring it. And then it was expedient to change the money to paper. Instead of using all this gold and passed around, let us use the paper like a receipt for what we have there, like the backing. But then it comes to a place now, you know, this have thrown the world into all kind of economic chaos because just the third world countries alone is billions and billions of dollars in debt that they could never repay. See? And then, you know, all this foreign investments and all the different things, it have the world in such a chaotic condition. And with all the restructuring going on, they'll have to change, do some restructuring in the financial system, in the monetary system. Oh, it's all being logical. It's all going to come like every day and it can be accepted. Nobody will even take it for a trap because right now, you know, with all the recession, all the inflation, all the devaluation going on, it's sending signals. It's coming. He says, and the Jews will be trapped and come into the alliance, and the harlot church will take over the whole world. So the Jews too will be trapped also. See? So these are the traps that I have in mind that I'm speaking of here. That this mighty hunter in this 20th century has set these traps. One for the eagle, one for the bear, has caught that Protestant lamb, all those things. He has all his traps set. Oh, he's a great shrewd hunter. And I'm showing you how the prophet now says when he's hunting them animals. And you know why it was the after he lost the trail of the lion? He said, I started back up the canyon, I whiffed a bear, an old male bear. The room Nimrod has whiffed a bear to. He's caught the scent of the bear. He says, I thought I'd get him now, boy, that's good. I whiffed again. I went a little farther. I watched for all kinds of signs for everything. I couldn't see a thing. Turn back down. You see, a hunter, first there's an objective of the hunter. See? He has an objective. Then the trap needs to be set. And then with patience, you have to wait. Because he just cannot run and put the animal in the trap. You have to wait the unbaited one. Sometimes it's long. You have to have real patience if he's a good hunter. He's going to sit there and wait right there. Remember the time the prophet told the story about that hunter? Book. Oh, he's an evil man, but a real good hunter. See? Evil man, but a real good hunter. And he was hunting there and he couldn't find anything. And something struck him. And he says, I know I'm going to get something. So he pulled out a whistle and he began to make a certain song with the whistle because he knew the nature of the mother. And because he had studied them, so he knew the nature. And he knew if anything going to bring the mother out would be to hear her young one crying. But it was an enticing move. It was a seducing move to pull her out of safety, to lure her out where he could have superiority over her. All right. Oh, if we could only see how this mighty hunter that I'm talking about is actually pulling the bear out of his environment, making him change his environment, but when somebody changes the environment, it weakens them. Because you are made strong
and superior when you stay in your own environment. From the time you get into somebody else's environment, oh, you can function as you are too. Now your movements are restricted. Now the one who has control in that new environment becomes superior to you. Amen. Oh my, dear. And that beer is being drawn out. And the prophet was saying here, he said, I get a whiff of that beer. He said, then I begin to notice it kind of getting a little foggy. You know how you get lost up there. And sometimes the weather's changed. Sometimes things happen. And you know, oh, you almost had them get to catch them. And they got away. It's not the right time. So the hunter will be real patient. You have to set his traps. You have to make different moves again. See, because God is not going to let those things happen until the right time. But now we can see the right time is coming on. Because the kind of moves they are making now, they never made those moves before. Look what happened in that whole communist world. See? Political changes, economic changes, social changes. Now, war and conquest. We want to look and see this great hunt that is on and how the prey that has been hunted. The hunter has studied the history. Oh, he knew just how to woo the Protestants. Separated brethren. That we all, you know, there's a great bear out here in these woods. You know, there's a little sheep, you know. And that bear, remember in the Bible how the bear come and pick up the sheep and David had to go after it. And that bear, you know, that has the sheep all scared. Sheep is kind of nervous. My. And he said, what did the Catholics do? Oh, they're going to cry. Watch communism. Watch communism. Watch communism. And get them Protestants all worked up. Yes, you know. And said, best to be united, brethren, because this anti-God will take over the whole world. Yeah. Well, it looked good. They had to make a choice between two evils, Catholicism and communism. So they say, well, you know, let's choose the lesser of two evils. At least they're still talking about God. Yeah. See? What did Ahab do? Oh, that we all maybe want Jehoshaphat. Your men is my men. Yeah. Your horse is my horses. We'll be Syrians up there. Let us go up and take over the battle. Yeah. Oh, it's a great move, but we shall never get that unity. No. But Elijah told them what was coming. And here we see it, right this hour, how it's all moving up that place. But it have to be so at this time. And when we see how they got so scared and paranoid, he said, don't fear the iron curtain, watch the purple curtain. But they were lured into it. Because that hunter is so experienced. That when he took them, they thought they come to the safe arms of the hunter. To protect them from this evil being. But it's all a great drama that's happening here. And this Nimrod, when you watch him in the Bible here, as we've been looking and seeing, that all these things are tied, because I told you last night, I says, now look how, right here, we see communications represented. And what is in seed form is in multiplied form today. What is in potential is in full manifestation today. Now, when you read Genesis is genes. It's the book of beginning. Genes is seed. And once you deal with a seed, you have to look at it with your microscope. See? So, when we look here, we saw communications. It was a strength. One language, one people. They had evolved from many tongues. It had developed to one language and one speech. Because we took where each one of them had their own tongues. Each one of them was divided in their own places. Everything else. And when God came, he said, my, what an achievement. Yeah. Now, they will stop at nothing now with this type of unity. With this type of system that they have because they are all one. Yeah. Because all those nations that were subdued, Nimrod was such a great hunter because when he took the toils of the chase, he got out there hunting the animals in the natural. Oh, he was the first one, the prophet said, that took war to his neighbors. In page 186, seven church ages. You know, close to the Bible. He says, Ninus, king of Assyria, which is Nimrod, changed the ancient moderate ways of life by desire and conquest. He changed the way of life by desire and conquest. He was the first who carried war against his neighbors. He conquered all nations from Assyria to Libya. As these men knew not the arts of war, thus we see this Ninus started to become great in Babylon, built Babel, took over Assyria, becoming its king, and then proceeded to devour other vast territories where the people were unskilled in war and lived in moderate ways. I said, but the translators made a mistake in translating Asher as a noun, for it's a verb. See, it means make strong. And here he says here, on page 182 and 3, I want you to notice this carefully because I want to express something here. He says, now since the priests were in charge of teaching these sciences, talking about, you know, the Chaldeans and all the sciences, and since these sciences were used as a part of religion, we already know the key as to how the Babylonian religion gained its strength in these countries, these two countries, Greece and Egypt. He said, because you want to find out what happened, you have to go to Egypt and go to Greece, because they had conquered Egypt too. And when they conquered the nation, the strategy was, you teach them your sciences, make them speak your language, because they come under your jurisdiction now. See, they become part of your great system that you're administrating over. So what happens, they are spreading their culture. They are propagating their influence into all the earth and becoming a stronger power all the time. Because war always changes the world. And I want to show this mighty hunter who is hunting today is changing the world. Because there's different kind of wars. Today we hear of trade wars, economic wars, industrial wars. Is that right? See? We hear of corporate warfare, media warfare. It's a different type of wars. It's a different type of battleground. There's even scriptural war. We never know about scriptural war. We come in a message, we have about scriptural war. Scriptural war is responsible for us here tonight. You don't be a good citizen of the Baptist. You don't be a good citizen of the Methodist. If scriptural war didn't come and conquer you with love. Yeah. If the Lord didn't conquer you with love and make you his love slave, his prisoner. Yeah. You might be a good Roman Catholic tonight. Mm-hmm. But scriptural warfare changed your life. Change your language. Change your speech. Amen. Change your way of dress. Change your home. Yeah. Scriptural warfare. Sure. Because we are the results of a war. In each age when the enemy went out, like in Revelation 6, he went forth conquering and to conquer. What was he conquering? By the time he changed horses, he already had power in the state. The United Children stayed together, and now the church was using the power of the state to do the killing. Because they had conquered strategic places and had influence that was controlling the state now. Yeah. Then they begin to take a hold of the treasury and handle all the money and begin to make the people pay for this and pay for the other and pay for the other. Then they control the schools and begin to educate the children, yeah, the new generation, in their own ideology. Yeah. Sure. Spread the culture. Go into other countries, divide and conquer, and begin to propagate the religion. Okay. So Nimrod, he says, now it is also true that whenever a nation was able to overcome another nation, in due time the religion of the subduer became the religion of the subdued. Yeah. Now, I want to close on this point here, so I want to strike it real good, and we are finished for tonight. But listen to this. How conquest and war changes our lives. And it's changing the world, because that hunter, he said Nimrod was the one who had a desire for conquest. And desire for conquest changed the world. And he was able to unite the whole then known world and build Babylon as the capital and build a tower that was going to link earth and heaven together. Now, when you think to build a city of the size which they intended, and a tower with which would link earth and heaven together, that would require a great labor force. Bigger Babylon, I guarantee you, is bigger than Saskatoon. It was the greatest Gentile kingdom ever built on the earth. Because it was the head of gold. It deteriorated and get lesser and lesser from gold to silver, from silver to brass, from brass to iron. It's the most inferior today. The glory of Babylon, what it was. It was one of the Greeks who was the intellectuals had the hanging gardens of Babylon as one of the wonders of the world. One of the seven wonders. Think of it. The sciences that they had. Architectural science. Egypt, they built all the pyramids of these things down in Egypt. But they got the sciences from Babylon. They got the knowledge of mathematics and astronomy and all these things from Babylon. So think of the size of the labor force. Think of the vast resources. How much bricks is going to take to build a whole city? Not a housing development. Not a couple of hotels. A city. And then a tower to link earth and heaven. No, you can't build a natural tower to go in the next dimension. They had more knowledge than that. You know what I'm saying? You're not going to build a tower to go in the next dimension. They wanted to link earth and heaven. See? Today they want to do it too. And it's all based on the communication system that they're advancing so rapidly. So listen. Think of the vast resources and materials it was going to take. They had to dig out all that thing to cement the blocks, to make the blocks differently, to get the iron out, to get everything else. And those people had come, when Ham came out the ark, Ham, Shem, and Japheth, those three peoples, they had seen the science civilization that was there, who had discovered atomic power, because gasoline power cannot lift one of them size of stones that high to build a pyramid. And the geometrical sciences and the architectural sciences that they had discovered. Scientists can't build that today, prophet says. And those men came from that civilization, and after a few hundred years, they were thinking about linking earth and heaven now. Oh, it's a great thing. You think of the kind of organization it was going to take. You watch any when they come to build a city, a big city that's going to be the capital of the whole world, the headquarters. That takes real organization. That takes real labor force. That takes real control of the economy. That takes real control of trade, transportation systems, everything else, industry, controlling the labor force and all these things. It will even take an effective communication system. And not only did they have that, they were advancing with great rapidity in what they were doing. Until the Lord said, I better put an end to this thing quickly. And as I said last night, he could have caused an earthquake and shaken down the whole thing. But he didn't do that. He disrupted the communication system. Turn me to Daniel as we read the scripture here quickly. Daniel 1. Verse 1 to 6. In the third year of the reign of Jehoiakim, king of Judah, came Nebuchadnezzar, king of Babylon, unto Jerusalem and besieged it. And the Lord gave Jehoiakim, king of Judah, into his hand with part of the vessels of the house of God which he carried into the land of Shinar to the house of his God, and he brought the vessels into the treasure house of his God. And the king spoke unto Ashpenaz, the master of his eunuchs, that he should bring certain of the children of Israel and of the king's seed and of the princes, youths in whom was no blemish, well, but well favored, and skillful in all wisdom and gifted in knowledge and understanding science. How is Ashpenaz going to find out that? You have to put them all on that test. You have to examine them. You have to do a research, give them certain aptitude tests and different things about how high the IQ is. Give them certain tests about their abilities. Because they don't want the whole stock of prisoners. They're going to do a lot for labor and put them into some place where they, you know, form a little, maybe a little third world, something in the back there. But the one that was skillful, like the cream of the crop of the nation, they were going to use them as little satellites, as channels where they're going to spread the ideology, teach them, because they know if they teach them the sciences, if they teach them all the knowledge and that they have there, that they'll be able to spread the culture. So notice that they'll do that. And what was going on? War. When Nebuchadnezzar invaded Israel and took them, he took certain ones, and then he says, when he was down there now, he had a plan, an order to set them in, to use them for certain purposes. And such as had ability to stand in the king's palace, and whom they might teach the learning and the tongue of the Chaldeans. And the king appointed them a daily provision of the king's meat, and of the wine which he drank, so nourishing them 3 years, that at the end of them, they might stand before the king. Now among these were the children of Judah, Daniel, Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah. Okay? So right there it shows us how war, when it goes into a country, it takes them and begin to change their life. Begin to teach them new things and use them to propagate their own influence. Sometimes you see they have in the country here, in the school, they come through the school system, and they pick out certain children and give them a scholarship. Give them certain, you know, incentives. Because what they're doing, they're screening those who come to the educational system and train them to hold key positions, because that will be the strength of the nation. And they try to, you know, instill in them a lot of patriotism and these things. So they will have, you know, want to live for the country and have honor and pledge their service for the country and different things, that they can use them to propagate the cause or the beliefs or the ideology of the country that they belong to. Now, so here it is today, you find that something is happening. Countries that have had societies and cultures for thousands of years is being shattered like that in this hour. You go to all them Chinese countries, North Korea, South Korea, different things. Like we were in the Malaysia recently, and you know, where you get in the back there, you see all the young people, black jackets, big motorbikes, you know, different type of sneakers, you know, out in the malls, hanging around there, playing video games. How did you get there? Now, there, from generation to generation, they have come to a certain type of system. But the warfare that's being fought today, and the channel of the fourth dimension that's being used, the American lifestyle, Hollywood, projecting the influence. See? Showing, you know, they have all the different, you know, the young people and the different type of dances. Long ago, people talk about, you had the old dance when they come, the pioneers come there, you know, different type of certain dances, and then they had the more formal dances, and now it's break dance and moonwalk, and you see all these weird things coming among the children. What is happening? You try to think of people in the past generation. You had the type of clothes and the fashions that's coming out. It disintegrating societies. It disintegrating cultures. Because it's a type of war for the mind now. And it's capturing the minds of the people and bringing them under certain influence and disrupting societies around the world. That is causing rebellion. You see, like, people are accustomed to maybe one certain type of music, and through the drug culture, all the rock music and all these things get into all them foreign countries, all in Russia, and, you know, China and different India and places there. You see how the people who have been traditioned for thousands and thousands of years, They can no longer hold them under influence. It's changing the way of life. It's all been part of a great orchestrated plan, taking over the world, bringing systems under pressure, causing the crumble. For industrial warfare, throwing nations. The results of war sometimes leave diseases, leave famine, it leaves different things. In natural military warfare, industrial warfare, it leaves places in bankruptcy, in recession, with inflation and devaluation, different things. Companies going to receivership, unemployment. Trade war, causing. Then there's biological warfare, where they attack not the people, the livestock, and the crops. Using a different type of a warfare that caused the whole crop to go to waste. Because it's come to another realm. But it's all this great, mighty hunter who have a desire for conquest, conquering the world today. A different type of conquering and uniting the whole world. Remember, Babylon is where every, Bible says, every sorcery, the kid of every hateful and unclean bird, every type of spirit is where it come out of. Exactly. Prophet said, Nimrod is the first one, desire for conquest. A little quote from the Time magazine. It says, the definition of conquest has changed. Japan has proved that territory, share acreage means nothing. The Soviet Union, geographical vastness, has availed little in productivity. The deepest change may be a planetary intuition that military war is pointless. Except in places like the Middle East or Ireland, conquering territory is fruitless and counterproductive exercise. Why conquer land? The Soviets have had more trouble than they can manage with their nationalities. But when you conquer different nationalities in different countries, different cultures, customs, you can't change them sometimes. This is something trying to bring them and regiment them under. They rebel. It costs lives and waste of time and so much money and different things. But listen to this. The new world's battlegrounds are markets and ideas. The Japanese and Germans, having learned their military lessons the hard way, re-entered the war by another means. See? Look at us, it says. We are the results of scriptural war. Some of us had along here, used to smoke and drink. That was our way of life. Used to dress, like the world. Women used to be wearing all kind of strange clothes. But you know what happened? We've been conquered. And we've been taught something else. And we've come into a new identity, a new way of life, because of scriptural war. Because God had raised up men in every age to preach a message when the enemy rode conquering. God sent out an anointing to combat that. And it's been a great war. It has been scriptural war coming down through the age. Conquering and conquering. And while the enemy had been conquering and conquering and building his kingdom, God had been conquering too by love. God also knows us the same way like the enemy. He watches the animals he's hunting. And he knows them. And he tracks them and trails them. As to the patients, he knows what they fear, he knows what they love. He studies the behavior, he knows what they're going to respond to. And he puts it out there as a snare for them. Sometimes you see young people, they're coming along and they see this outside the world, look glamorous, look this. And the voice of God coming to warn them from the world, showing them, identifying to them the hour that they're living in. Proving the message to them, bringing the reality of things that, is happening in the world. Sometimes they think, well, it's religion. But in all these things in the world, it's right in the scripture. That we see how back there, Nimrod, to build that Babel and bring that unity and build that world state and bring them to a satanic religion, he went forth conquering. Was a great mighty hunter. Take strategic places. If you look at it on a map, get a map and see the name of the places that he took. Get the history of the places and see why certain places was necessary for him to go and invade and take over, so you control the resources there. You control the economy here. You can control the trade over here. And then by doing that, you don't have to fight others a military war. You can fight them trade wars. Starve them, pressure them, throw them into chaos because he's controlling the trade routes, cause inflation among them, cause black market, cause crime to rise among them. Sure, he can do it. Exactly how the great battle being fought in this hour, bringing it until all 10 kings is going to give their power to the beast. It's coming. And it's right in the making. And tomorrow as we try to wind up these services and show exactly how it relates to us now. What is that? I want to get a chance tomorrow, maybe even the last service, to share the path for us now. What is happening amongst us? I'm trying to give you all the background in the political realm, in the religious realm, in the economic realm outside there, all that's happening there, and then bring it to the spiritual realm. What's happening to us here, and seeing how all these things relate and showing that the signs of the time are everywhere. Yeah. It's everywhere. And if you could only see the flashing red lights, flashing, showing us that the train is in the block. Probably you better throw your bag of peanuts and you better get on board because there's no time for fooling around. No. When you see now everything moving and it has been foretold and we have been forewarned by the Holy Spirit speaking to a prophet and God vindicating that word. And years after everything he has spoken in this message, we see coming to pass to the very dot. And it's going to come until that bomb hit America and bring an annihilation. See? Until the Vatican destroyed all those things, it's going to come. But we are going to live here before one bomb falls. Because he shall send you Elijah, and he shall turn the hearts of the children back to the faith of the fathers, lest I come and smite the earth with a curse. Before that earth could be burned like an oven with the atomic bomb. He said, before he sends the atomic bomb, he will send Elijah. Amen. And that is what we've been caught up in. But I'm bringing this message on to show the hour of the modern events being made clear, exactly what it is, how you're moving into a place, and that it's time for us to go where we can check ourselves and see where we are standing in this hour. Yeah. And to see the traps that are being set. See? That the hunter has. All them video games outside there, all them fashions, you know, all are traps of the hunter. All the worldly pleasures is traps of that hunter. You have religious traps. You have pleasure traps. Yes, sir. Sure. Mm-hmm. He has money traps. It's all kind of traps. And he looks just like you all up here. You do a lot of fishing and hunting. So you know what I'm talking about when I explain some of those things. I don't hunt. I send it by inspiration that God give me to see some of these things. But some of you have the experience. You know the patience at stake. Some of you are fishing and, you know, trying to get the right bait and just learn the art and just know how to set the hook for the catch and these things. See, how to lure the fish and the angel showing the prophet pull slowly and then set the hook on these things. And exactly when you look out there, let me tell you. As you said last night, people say, I see nothing going on. Oh, Christianity have never been this exciting. Christianity have come like a suspense-filled great drama, you know, action-packed, fast-moving serial that is taking place right now. Oh, I don't have the glue to see the excitement. You see that hunter there, how he's moving on a great world scene, bringing everything under his control. But thank God our eyes have been open to see what that prophet has spoken about. And now we can see why the seven seals have to open to uncover the scheme of the enemy. Yeah. He said, that's the reason he's howling. Yeah. He's uncovered his scheme so we can be caught out of there. And that's why it's how we need to really stay in that word, stay inside of there, anchor inside of there, and know what has been spoken for this hour. Yeah. Let's just sing this little song as the musicians come. Signs of the time are everywhere, and there's a brand new feeling in the air. Put your eyes upon the eastern skies. You know that song? Okay, nations are breaking, Israel's awakening. Amen. Let us have our lamps trimmed and clear. Let us look up, knowing our redemption draw at night. Amen. This is the hour we should be gathering our families together, hold them close to us,
Let them know we're getting ready to leave. Amen. It's going home time. Because when we see all these things moving in. You know, long ago we had a kind of conception that those things would happen way down the road somewhere. And you know, a lot of things will be happening here before we leave. But if you remember in the Bible, Noah was in that ark and the rain began to fall. You were shut in, nobody could come in, nobody could go out, and the third pool was going to the loss after the door was closed. He had preached his message, and the rain was coming down. It began to raise the ark up. And the water got higher and higher. The ark was going up more and more. And the water was coming higher and higher. And the judgment is coming in and coming in. And as the judgments keep coming in and filling up the earth, he was going up and going up until he went above the judgments and come back into the new earth. He said, who walked out into the new world? He said, those who had believed the prophet and went into the ark with him, came back out into the new world. And that's why all these things is coming in, it's coming in, it's coming in. Gradually, it's coming in already. In Egypt, there was under the blood, but death was all around. The plagues that filled up the earth. It's coming in gradually. But we are being lifted up. And the Bible says, and he went up a little bit, and then above every hill, and he went up a little higher, and he was above the mountains, and he went up a little higher. He's above the prophecy is above the whole earth now. And he went right over the judgment. And the same water that destroyed the earth saved Noah. And the judgment has begun to see it coming in. I didn't see all the word falling into place. It's telling us it's time to go. It's time to look up. Amen. It's time to get together as a family. Get around the family altar. I'm going to pray. Have the staff in the hand. Have the feet shod. And eat the bread with haste. Amen. And know that we are sheltered, protected under the blood, his precious word. Isn't it? Men's hearts. Men's hearts are failing for fear. Oh, be filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit. Your lamps trimmed and clear. Oh, look up tonight. Let's look away to another horizon.